Hello, friends. On today's show, what's this about crime? What did games look like 1,000 years ago? And what's this about a history teacher changing the narrative? Also, how cool are librarians, right? That's all coming up. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the aftertimes.
You get what I'm talking about.
So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Yeah. So we both spent Friday night singing our hearts out.
Where were you singing your hearts
out? I was in Casadega, Florida.
That's right.
At the Hotel Casadega. And yes, of course, we sang Hotel California, but changed the words.
Sure.
With the dueling piano players.
Nice.
And closed the bar down. Because
everybody left? Or was it they go, okay, that's it?
Because they say, okay, yeah, it's going to like...
They're like, there's not going to be a better song. We're going to just shut the whole thing down.
It's 10 o'clock and the bar is closed.
You don't have to go home.
It's a small, yeah.
But you have to get out of here.
You have to get out of the bar.
Yes.
We will no longer serve.
Please,
you.
I'd like to clean up. I have family. Oh. Yeah, so it was fun hanging out with Andrew Heaton and all of them, Jen Briney, and Bryce showed up.
What?
Yeah, Bryce showed up, which we'll talk about in the Patreon.
Okay. But, talk about my Friday night encounter as well.
Yes. I want to know all of that.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Two Beers In.
Oh, okay.
It is a podcast that talks about alcohol and other things.
Do we give alcohol a passing nodding mention?
Sure.
But that's about it.
I'm doing the thing that Brian suggested, which is never say the quiet thing out loud.
Okay.
Like have a little. And so I'm saying, no, it's about drinking, and it's not really about drinking. I am Brett Weaver. I'm one of your hosts. I'm enjoying a tall glass. Now low.
Yeah, low. It looks like you have enjoyed.
I have enjoyed a gin and tonic with a shot of Angostura or a dash of Angostura bitters. Okay. A nice lime in it.
There we go. Well, I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I'm enjoying a rum punch.
Yay.
Dark rum, orange, pineapple juice.
Sure.
Splash of soda.
Okay.
And a lime.
Yeah, because I remember before you had tried it, you didn't need the soda as much. You just did a splash this time.
Yeah, just...
There we go.
That's it.
Doug is not here. He's on his way driving back from Houston at 110 miles an hour, he says. I would not put it past Doug.
Oftentimes when I'm leaving Houston, that's about how I drive as well.
Fast you want to be going. Yeah.
By the way, anytime Independence Day is on, and it's late at night, I got to stay up for the part where they nuke Houston.
Yes, always.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Always.
Okay, and we've destroyed Houston.
Sure, and I'm like, oh, look, that's right where the University of Houston is.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that view? I know exactly where that is.
I know that exit.
Kim Sun is right over there. And yeah. In case you didn't know it, audience friend, I went to University of Houston. I grew up there, so.
Wait, I thought you went to Sam.
Went to Stephen F. Austin University.
Would you get kicked out of the other one?
No, I went. I chased a girl.
Oh.
She wasn't there once I got there.
What?
But I met another girl, and that was okay. And that's how I got into radio.
All right.
So there you go. We've got a variety of stories to talk about today. Let's start with the first one. Surprisingly, this was something that surprised me, and hopefully it's good for everybody else. U.S. crime rate drops to historic lows, with murders, rapes, and robberies plunging, new statistics show.
This did not surprise me, because
no.
I'm I watch news pretty regularly. I've got my appointment TV for this program or that program.
Judge Judy.
Yes, yes. Divorce court.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Those sorts of
Dr.
things.
Dr. Phil.
Cops.
Dr. Phil on cops.
What'd I do?
What'd I do?
What'd I do?
Sir, sir.
Put your shirt on, get in the back of the car.
Call Oprah. So the U.S. Or the FBI released the latest Uniform Crime Reporting Survey. So that's what made me, first of all, that the FBI released this mm-hmm. was the reason why, because why I decided to do this, because it's about as official as you can get.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, while, you know, so many times with statistics, you say, people say, like, no, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But in this one, I was like, okay, FBI is, I mean, besides the one horrible thing they do every decade, at least they put out good reports. So they revealed that a notable positive trend is continuing across the U.S. with violent and property crimes dropping by double digits. Now, I'm curious if that's true in Austin as well. I mean, obviously, my bike hasn't been stolen again.
Right. In a couple years?
During pandemic, I had my bike stolen, mm-hmm. and there was a pile of bikes underneath 183. And I was like, there they are. And the cops were like, nope, not going over there. But but anyway, so compared to January through March 2023, data from the first quarter of 2024 indicates that reported violent crime decreased by 15.2%.
That's awesome.
Murders decreased by 26%.
Woo!
Rapes down by 25%. Robbery is dropped by 17 or 18%. Aggravated assaults report decreased by 12%, and property crime also decreased by just over 15%. Now, I looked through to really say, okay, did they just recategorize everything, which dropped it? No. It's consistent.
Okay.
So the report includes data for more than 18,000 city, county, state, tribal, university, and college, and federal law enforcement agencies. So they all got together. Last year, crime in the U.S. declined across nearly every category, except, you know, in with FBI tallying one of the lowest rates of violent crime in more than 50 years. And one of the biggest drops in murder rates seen in history.
This is awesome news.
Yeah.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. finally doing his job.
You see, and yeah. I look at it and I go, how can I turn this dark? Because I'm like, maybe all the people that needed killing got killed.
No, not quite.
No, no. I mean, I was trying to put a spin on it.
Yeah,
but, But no, that's great. That's great to see.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where the trend goes from this, especially in this next year.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Because things are going to get really dicey. And,
sure.
now that the decision on bump stocks has been made.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yay. Let's go a totally different direction.
All right.
Exquisitely preserved 1,000-year-old gaming pieces found in German castle offer a snapshot of medieval pastimes.
Not medieval times.
No.
Medieval pastimes. Which is...
even further back than medieval times. It's like the pastimes of medieval.
It's like, what are we going to do when it's raining, we can't work in the fields, we have to sit in the mud hut?
Surprisingly... they were playing D&D even back then.
Get out.
So if a history professor or museum is at their very best when they help people deeply connect with the ghost of the past, then these 1,000-year-old gaming pieces found in a German castle are the perfect tool for the job. Again, the question is, was there just some big freaking nerd that was in and made a game?
Was this a popular game or was this a one-off kind
of
thing?
Just this guy was like, yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, I made up this game and here are the rules.
It's Baron von Milton Bradley.
Earl of Sandwich. We're going to need some sandwiches here
he's like,
in the middle because this is going
to
take a while.
How do we do that? You know how to do it. Oh, very interesting. I'll make a hamburger.
So four flower-shaped gaming pieces, a six-sided die.
Yes.
And a knight chess piece, all carved of antler.
Of course.
Jeez. The find is a treasure trove of information on pastimes.
I mean, and this thing lasted 1,000 years.
Woo! That's, wow.
Yeah.
And they were even somewhat painted.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the flower-shaped pieces had residue of red paint, suggesting that one side could have played red and the other side presumed. Maybe this was a Brazilian steakhouse, but 1,000 years ago, and one side was painted green, one part of the antler, the other side is red. So
I need more.
Yes, more meat, please.
More beaver over
here. More. Really, are the Germans known for their beaver?
I don't doubt it. They have many.
I mean, their Scheiser film, sure, but not their beaver stuff.
They have many creeks and rivers.
Sure.
You make a beaver schnitzel.
Use the tail.
Yes.
That's right.
You serve it on the tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While other
you
beavers
don't waste.
Other beavers have signs. You unfair.
You don't waste any of the beaver.
You got to use all the beaver. That's what I'm saying. Make sure you use all the beaver.
Exactly.
So similar artifacts from a similar time, experts find a 1,000-year-old skate made of animal bone. That's a different story. Chess was one of the 7 skills that a good knight should master. It is therefore not surprising that known finds mostly come from castles, of course.
Well, yeah.
Discovery of entire games collection. Well, so then I want to know what that game is. What's the game?
Well, they'd have to find the box and the rules.
It was Monopoly. It was Monopoly. Even back then.
That's it. I'm going from a hut to a castle.
Because it can't be you sunk my battleship. That's a different. Yeah. Not 1,000 years ago.
Armada. That would be an
you
armada.
You sunk my armada. In Germany? Yeah. German.
Sure. Many lakes and rivers and...
All right. They can go down the Rhine on their way out. The armada goes out.
They cast the nets and capture the beavers.
Because, you know, you have to have food when you're going to war.
Yes.
I mean, an army or a navy is succeeds on its stomach.
That's it.
All right, let's get to the third. So anyway, gaming pieces, 1,000 years old. I think that's pretty cool. All right, third story. You want to do the third story?
Sure.
Okay.
Teacher's tome plugs the gaps from our collective history books.
Yes.
History Lessons by teacher Shalina Patel.
Yes.
Is a whistle-stop tour of history. Doot, doot.
Doot, doot.
Come aboard the history train.
So now here's what's cool about this. Now, this is not about a teacher here in the United States. This is someone in
Great Britain.
Great Britain.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Shalina Patel's The History Lessons takes a swipe at established narratives and addresses some uncomfortable truths about colonialism and Britain's role in the slave trade.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Her inclusive journey into the past covers the Romans to the Second World War via Tudor courts and medieval castles, giving unsung women and people of color their rightful place in the timeline along the way.
Isn't that interesting?
That's great
stuff.
So yeah. I'm not just sharing diverse stories. I'm linking those diverse stories with the context that everybody already knows. It's placing those Indian soldiers and Chinese workers alongside the Tommies in the trenches and putting them in the same place rather than othering them.
Which is something that I wish would happen with U.S. history.
Oh, yeah.
How
absolutely.
Much more? I mean, because there's so much stuff we don't... Like, we just came... Juneteenth just happened.
Yes.
Which is the celebration of when the Union during Reconstruction, 2 years after the slaves were freed,
officially
got to Galveston and said,
"Oh, by the way,
y'all are free." And they're like, "We're what?" And so, yeah, and it's spread since then. I mean, it spread after that to where they're like, "Oh, we don't have to." So, I mean, I would love to hear those not put in as, "Oh, well, and the black people." It's like, no, here's what happened with some other American citizens.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's appalling that 17 states in the U.S. aren't allowed to teach what Juneteenth is all about.
Right.
That's insane.
It's insane. It's, you know, it's just saying, hey, this happened. Like, this happened. So for Juneteenth, I wore my, what's the flower that you make Jamaica tea? Starts with an H. The red tea?
Hibiscus.
Hibiscus. Hibiscus tea. So here's a little bit. I'm just going to just bump in because I love this little bit of trivia or history. So during Juneteenth, a lot of the time, red Kool-Aid is served along with the meals and everything in celebration. Well, it ends up, it was originally hibiscus tea.
Get out. I never knew that.
Yeah. And so I was wearing my hibiscus colored shirt yesterday.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah. That was me going, yay, y'all did it. No thanks to me.
So I know that for years in Great Britain, the whole topic of British colonialism in India was sort of like, oh, no, well, we don't need to talk about that and that sort of thing. But here she mentions Dorothy Lawrence. Patel mentions Dorothy Lawrence, a tiger-slaying empress. 18-year-old Lawrence was desperate to become a war reporter, but was vetoed by her editors on the grounds of her gender. Undeterred, she cycled to the Western Front and disguised herself as a male soldier, though her ruse was rumbled after just 10 days.
Sure.
So the other figure that Patel uses is Nur Jahan. Jahan was once the de facto head of India's ruling Mongol Empire, which was still in power when Britain used control. Patel uses the 17th century tiger-slaying empress as a vehicle for explaining the origins of British colonialism.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and these are not things... These are things to acknowledge, but you don't necessarily have to take responsibility for them, right?
Right.
Like,
just
this is history. We're just saying, hey, this was history that happened. And if they want to go, well, you should feel guilty. No, I'm just saying, yeah, that was a crappy thing that happened, but this is how it happened.
Dorothy Lawrence is sort of like a real-life Mulan.
Yeah.
Or anyone that Shakespeare would have written about.
Sure.
Of women who disguise themselves as a man to go and do something heroic or protect themselves or something like that.
Sure. Very cool.
Awesome. Good job.
Yep. For our final story, let me tell you about the social media star helping people fall in love with libraries, which makes me very happy because librarians are awesome.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. At a time when public libraries are threatened by funding cuts and even book bans, Michal Threets sings their praises with infectious enthusiasm. Everybody belongs in a library, he says, and a library card can unlock a world of magic and possibility. Magic, huh? So, my child is a reluctant reader, but finds butts to be hilarious. Any recommendations?
I'm sure they get questions like that, Michael, all the time.
So Michael gets questions like this a lot.
By day,
the 33-year-old is a supervising librarian at the Fairfield Civic Center Library in California. But under the gaze of the smartphone lens, Threets became a superhero. Not your usual tight pants or billowing cape. Okay, enough of that. But he does have 600,000 to 700,000 followers on Instagram
and TikTok.
What? Yeah. He's an ordinary man with an extraordinary power. from his first-rate reading recommendations to his sheer passion for advocating libraries as a tonic for a whole host of challenges. So he was shy, but books were his best friend, his Aww. First friend. I was never shy, but books were also. I used to go to the library all the time.
Yeah.
And actually checked out books and read them. And what did you think? What did you do? Just hung out there.
Just hung out. You know? It had air conditioning.
I'm trying to remember, like, one of the first books that I read as a kid that I said, I want to read this book, was the Babe Ruth story.
Okay.
And which is funny for a lot of people are like, but you're not a sports guy. It's like, yet I thought that was a really cool story.
When I was I guess 13 or something like that, I read Mark Twain's The Mysterious Stranger.
Okay.
And that book blew my mind.
I haven't read it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have had several copies because I talk about it a lot and people say, what? I haven't read it. And I loan it to them and I never see it again.
I'll put it on my Kindle.
Yeah. 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 I think you'll find it to be really way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did Threats go from being a homeschooled kid to helping a generation of children rediscover the pleasures of the library? He says, I thought I was going to be an astronaut or an athlete. Librarian was never, ever on my radar. So instead, he kind of stumbled into the role. Doug!
Speaking of stumbling in.
Speaking of stumbling in, it's Doug.
Hey!
Here, let me turn you up. There you go.
There he is.
He just flew in from Houston.
And boy, are my arms tired.
Yeah. I did not. Is it?
6:30.
Wow, you're actually. No, you're 10 minutes early than what you said you were going to be.
Yep.
So you drove 120 miles per hour.
Well, I told him I was going to have to drive 113, but I wasn't able to maintain that speed.
Oh,
right.
No.
But yeah, I did make up a little bit of time. a little
he traveled cross country.
Yes.
He just skips right roads. Where we're going, we don't need
roads. We don't need roads. Yeah.
Well, I could take the curve or I could go through the cow.
Yeah.
Sorry, cow.
Sorry, cow. Roast beef, anyone? We're on our last story.
glad to be here. Bye.
So we're talking about a social media guy who... who's a librarian, and he's been doing. He's got 600,000 to 700,000 followers that listen to his recommendations on books and going to the library and doing all of that.
Weren't we burning all the librarians at the stake?
Yes,
thought I remembered that.
Yep, we were. But then he was like, "Guess what?
I dodged."
Yep.
Cool.
His name's Michael Threats.
And I can recommend books to your kids who's fascinated with butts.
Butts.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep. When he first took to Facebook to write about the interactions he had with kids in libraries, okay, that's a weird start. He got few likes. Then he switched to videos on TikTok and Instagram. Probably also, what was the one before TikTok?
Vine.
Vine. Yeah.
Yeah.
His audience ballooned. These days, he answers questions from kids. Does funny skits and generally bigs up
the library system.
I'm the wrong age. whenever he can. If someone tried to create the public library today, it would not get approved.
Talk more about butts, Uncle Brett.
Yep. Well, I like big butts.
I cannot lie.
I cannot lie. He said, you know, it wouldn't have been created now because there's no monetary gain from it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
Totally agree.
Parts of the U.S. libraries are coming under pressure to ban certain books. How does that make him feel? I will never understand why people want books to be banned, he said. They think that these books by authors of color are trying to indoctrinate their kids. They're trying to make kids feel guilty about an LGBTQIA+ agenda. There's no agenda, except we exist. Yeah. He says that he didn't grow up with a lot of books written by people like him or about people like him. Kids want to feel seen in books. They want to see their friends and they want to see their family. And I think, you know, after a while, I used to think that was silly, to be honest, because I read books all my life, and there were always books about different people that were different from me. And then I went, wait, I read a lot of boy stories. And I'm like, okay. And it's now that I go, I don't care. I don't need to see myself in the... I can see myself in the character without looking like that character.
I've often gone into libraries and seen a hungry, hungry caterpillar reading about a hungry, hungry caterpillar.
And she's never been a caterpillar.
I've seen in the library this boy with a purple crayon reading about a boy with a purple crayon. Yeah.
But one of my big thrills was going to the Texas Book Festival and wandering through the Senate chamber and seeing a kid reading a book that I helped to edit.
Oh.
And it was kind of like, oh my God, I edited that book.
And he's like, what is that? Did you write it? Like, no,
I did help to write it.
So you're a tracer. Well.
Yeah. Yes. and then my second thought was, you're really not supposed to be sitting there.
Yeah, well, you should be sitting in that chair. Come on, let's go now. Yeah.
And you kidnapped him.
Yep. I had someone on my...
I don't need kids. Sorry.
I had someone on my feed put up a list or like picture of all the comic books that they had. They're like, look, you know, which one is your favorite in this group? And I'm like, right in the middle is TJ and Amal. I go, I don't think you're going to be surprised which one is my favorite.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah, that's fair. So love of books has been reignited in a lot of grown-ups even via his post. He explains, they're like, oh, you remind me of the books I loved as a kid. After all, his three Instagram bio reads, having fun isn't hard. Not when you got a library card. It's good. That's good.
That's some good marketing stuff.
It's poetry. He's good with words.
It's nice. He can say words out loud. Good for him. You know how else you could... No.
Oh, the Segway monster's here.
Yes.
So here's the good thing. Today, it's taken me 4 months to get my Apple ID unlocked because I don't actually own an up-to-date iPhone or MacBook.
Uh-huh.
To where, because, and what happens is if you need to reset your password, you have to do it through one of those two devices.
Hmm.
Otherwise, it asks you all different types of questions saying,
right, yeah.
You know, like who. What? Okay, give me the credit card that you've got on file.
Yes.
Tell me what the code is. Like, that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't have that credit card. They're like, great. Well, we'll talk to you in 4 weeks. And so each time I just kept trying to do it and I'd give up and go. So I finally got the account unlocked today and went and made sure, yes, in Apple Podcasts, Two Beers In Austin is showing up there.
Yay!
It is up to date. Everything is being posted there. So.
You could have asked me, an Apple user.
I did not.
He likes to do it the hard way.
The hard way. That's
why
right.
Use doors when you got a perfectly good wall right there?
Yep. All I have to do is
clonk.
Just duck my head a little more. I can get
go.
Through.
That's right.
I go faster. I'll get through. So,
You don't need to take the hard way to help us out.
You can just go to patreon.com/twobeersin.
Yep.
Where we have different tiers, as we say each week. You can start with the $3 a month. Simple. Just lets us know you exist.
$3.
We want to know who you are.
$3.
$2 more per month.
Yeah.
You can get an extra episode.
What?
Yep, that's right. In fact, up to five episodes per month.
For $5.
$5.
$5. You can't even get a foot long at Subway anymore for $5.
You can't?
No.
No?
No.
I don't go to Subway, so it doesn't matter to me. No.
He's too important for that.
That no, it's just... I got better...
better sandwich places.
Places to go to. you can do that. Or you can, if you want to, like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, please. Please like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And the way you can find us on there is Two Beers In Austin.
Okay.
Because there are other Two Beers In.
Yeah.
We're Two Beers
What's
In
What's up with
Austin.
That? Can we sue them?
No.
No.
They can sue us.
Yeah.
They've been around longer.
Speaking of litigation, remind me to remind you of something.
Are you going to serve me?
Oh, no. It's about time. It all fell apart.
Monica's doing the long game. By the way, you've been served from 20 years ago.
Nope.
You're a process server.
Nope, nothing like
Double
that.
Double parked? Nope. What?
Yep, that's right. And you can also give us money by one-time gift by going to PayPal or Venmo and putting in Two Beers In at weightlesspod.com.
Or just please. give us your bank account information and we'll take the money out.
You can do that. I'm sure that's going to work out well and everyone will completely trust us.
Welcome Absolutely. To Nigerian Prince Podcast.
That's right. That's right. So I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, I got to do some karaoke singing with friends, Justin Robert Young and his wife Ashley and Jen Briney and... Bryce Castillo was there as well, and we all sang. The EK was there, and Andrew Heaton, and so I introduced to him the song by Ninja Sex Party called "Let's Save the Earth," which now he's doing everything he can to learn the song. and as we were about to leave, EK and I was about to leave. Heaton upstairs in the karaoke room says, "Hey, does anybody know of this songwriter by the name of Dean Summerwind?" And I started running up the stairs because nobody knew except me. And I wanted to share this song, which is...
Please do.
It's quite a happy song.
It is.
I'm sure you're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's called "Parked Out by the Lake" by Dean Summerwind.
And who doesn't want to be parked out by the lake?
80 miles from Santa Fe.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've been Brent Weaver. I've been enjoying a Angostura Bitters with splashed over gin and tonic. I'm just trying to do it differently this time. That's Monica.
Start with the modifier first.
Yes.
I got it.
I'm trying different languages.
Okay. That's Brent Weaver. He's hooked on phonics. I'm Monica Ballard. I've been enjoying a lime.
Sure.
Inside of a glass.
Sure.
Filled with dark rum and pineapple juice with just a splash of soda.
Great. Is That's it? Doug. Doug hasn't even drank anything.
I don't
yet.
Have a drink. Was that all a run up to make sure there was content?
No. That's right. Just making sure it's all there. Listen to this song. Thank you for listening to us. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hi. Where's the button? I've lost the button.
There Touch the button.
I'm still parked out by the lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe. And I'm sitting here just parked out by the lake. If you're wondering where I park, I'm out parked by the lake. It's the lake that's 80 miles from Santa Fe. And I'm parked out by the lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe. It's the lake that's parked where I'm at, out by the lake. And this lake is where by Santa Fe. That's where I'm at. I'm sitting out here parked. And I'm parked here by the lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe, and it's a lake that you remember where I park. And I'm parked out by the lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe. It's a lake that's parked where I'm at, out by the lake. And this lake is where I'm parked, 80 miles from Santa Fe. That's where I'm at. I'm parked, waiting for you. And you know that I'm parked out by the lake. You remember that lake out by Santa Fe. And I'm gonna sit here parked out by this lake. Out by this lake, by the where I told